The planet is heating up. People are restless. And the rich run everything. The revolution will not be televised, but it will be broadcast over the next hour live on Radio Chaser.
Welcome to the show. We have Andrew Hanson, Chris Taylor and Charles Firth. My name is Dom Knight. Coming up, why your travel agent always tries to sell you a cruise, all the very latest trendy foods, and finally for Sydney Siders, some good news about the light rail. Yes, really. But first, it's all about onions at Bunnings.
It's can we just cut the music? Thanks, Lee. Is a very, very sober day. For all Australians. This is the day that historians will note that Australia lost a little bit of its identity. Those things that defined us as a nation, that we thought were black and white, that we thought were unchangeable, fixed in the Constitution, have been rocked to the core. Oh. And I am talking, of course, about the decision by Bunnings Warehouse, where lowest prices are just the beginning, has decided to flip their famous sausage sandwich on its head, on its head, I say, by putting the onions, previously very enjoyably conveniently placed on top of the sausage, underneath the sausage.
The
humanity. Look, the reasons you were, I'll give you three guesses. Why do you think they've decided to flip a sandwich that's worked for centuries on its head?
Because they're insane psychopaths, Chris.
ISIS. It's ISIS.
It's worse than that, Andrew. I'll give you a guess.
Look, is it because they've got some sort of onion kind of nuclear war threat that's onion-shaped missiles headed this way?
All of those would have been perfectly acceptable reasons, and yet in the age of Australia in 2018, it's occupational health and safety. I don't know if the CSIRO has been consulted on this, but apparently onions on top are a hazard because it only takes one to fall and suddenly there's people slipping all over the warehouse and that's not good for lowest prices. So they've put a directive out. This is absolutely true. I'm sure you know about this. It's all anyone's talking about. They put a directive out to all the people who man the sausage sizzle at our Bunnings outlets. And the directive is you have to put the onions underneath the sausage. Look, is this political correctness gone mad, Charles?
I mean, I think, Chris, we have finally found an issue that Australia is prepared to wage a war of aggression over.
Yeah.
Like, this is bigger than Sandpapergate.
This is huge.
Which they actually got from a Bunnings.
They did.
This is like, I'm waiting to hear. We've already heard Scott Morrison came out this morning.
Did he?
And said that he would have it either way, which I think is a huge cop out.
Classic flip flop Morrison.
But I want to
take a position, ScoMo.
I want to hear what our neighbours are thinking. What is the Indonesian president thinking? Yeah. What is the New Zealand president thinking?
Yeah.
Because if they're on the wrong side of this, then it's war.
What's Donald Trump thinking?
Exactly.
Yeah. We're a laughing stock, an international laughing stock.
I don't think I've ever seen a sausage sandwich where the onions are on the bottom.
As it turns out, Triple M were having a sausage sizzle this morning.
Yeah.
So I actually ducked upstairs and I put the onions on the bottom to sort of taste test it because, I am a patriot, Chris, And actually, it's not a bad thing because it sort of hides the horrible onion taste. Whoever came up with this is a genius. Right. It's really good.
Well, will they go one further? Like, if they've got some tools or things they can't sell, will everything just be hid under the sausage from now on? So you think you're just buying a sausage, but suddenly, hang on, I've got a leaf blower.
Well, actually, you know what I want to do? I think we should go one further. I think we should have the bread first, then the sausage, and then the onion.
It's on the bottom.
On the bottom.
Charles.
On your hand.
That is un-Australian.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Talking about the new terror fear gripping Sydney, the Bunnings onions that could fall under your feet and make you slip over.
Yeah, and I think Charles Firth has got the right idea. This is the beginning of a civil war. I mean, it's Australia versus Bunnings. Whose side are you on?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the question for Australia, isn't it?
Well, we should be wearing a little pin, I think, that's either a sausage or an Australian flag to remember whose side we're on in this.
The thing is, though, I mean, as we mentioned, apparently it is for OH&S reasons.
Mm.
And look, I can only assume that someone somewhere in Australia has slipped on an onion and this has got a whole lot of people in a panic.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, I'm sick of going to Bunnings. Like, every weekend I go to Bunnings. Mm. slip over, break my leg.
I know.
But can't get anything done in the backyard.
Well, if you actually look at the history of it, the actual genesis of this new policy, and as we said, it's a directive that's gone out to everyone who's manning a barbecue at Bunnings this weekend. It's because, well, I think you all know the reason. There was a very fateful day, one Saturday, last September.
As a serving police officer, there are certain calls you always pray you never get.
Hello, 000.
You've got to help us. There's a man at the sausage sizzle here at Bunnings, and he's...
Sir, you'll have to slow down.
He's just bought a sausage and...
And what, sir?
And the onions are on the outside!
We'll dispatch someone straight away.
When we got to the scene, it was just chaos. People were screaming, doing whatever they could to get out of there. Not easy, of course, when half the aisles at Bunnings are congested with staff members filming those f***ing Bunnings commercials.
Sir, this is the police. Put the sausage sandwich down. Repeat, put the sausage sandwich down.
And that's when it happened. In the mayhem, one of the onions from his sandwich fell to the ground.
Attention all motorists. We have a loose onion on the ground. The M4 highway and all other roads in the area have been shut down. Please do not leave your homes unless you absolutely have to.
It was now obviously a very live situation. One onion down, and who knew how many more might follow.
So police took the decision to disarm the sausage assailant. The only problem was that we weren't carrying our guns at the time, but luckily at Bunnings they have an excellent range of nail guns at very competitive prices.
Drop the sausage, sir! Drop the sausage! Lower! Lower! Come on! At Bunnings, lower sausages are just the beginning!
The assailant tried to make his escape, but as fate would have it, he slipped on his own onion. And like most people who accidentally tread on a bit of onion, he died instantly.
Even though he was dead, we still had a live onion on the ground, so we had to call in the onion disposal squad.
It's too dangerous! I can't do it! The onion on the ground is raw! I repeat, raw onion!
There's only one person in the world who can dispose of raw onion.
Clear the scene! Clear the scene! Make way for Tony Abbott!
And say what you like about him as a politician, but Tony Abbott was a true Australian hero that day.
Yeah. But we still shot him with our nail guns while we had the chance.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M.
Time to take a deep look into what's happening in Sydney.
Postcode penetration. We probe deep inside your postcode.
And first up, the CBD.
Now penetrating Sydney CBD 2000.
I have some very good news for... Well done, Andrew Hanson. I have very good news for people in the CBD. A Christmas present from the light rail. The barriers are coming down after 3 years in some places. They've already taken the ones off in the middle of the sort of King Street area. Circular Quay comes on the weekend, and all of them are out by Chinatown. You can frolic and dance in the streets with no barriers in the way by early next year.
So, but won't we get run over by light rail?
No, the light rail's not working. What are you talking about? No, they're just getting the barriers out of the way.
Right, so we should celebrate that. We're going to just have empty streets now.
Yeah, you'll have a better view of the incompleted works.
Where will all the workmen who are looking at their phones hide? Well, what will they hide behind?
Probably in a tunnel under Moore Park. But no, you can go and just take a look at the track, admire the beautiful untouched track that's never seen a light rail train go along.
You know what this is? You know, there used to be a Christmas tradition of taking the kids to look at the Meyer windows.
Yeah.
That got a bit boring. So now you take the kids to see the light rail tracks that aren't yet finished. Merry Christmas, kids.
Now penetrating Vaucluse.
Yes.
2030.
Now, some more good news for those living in Vaucluse. Sydney Water's been for many years trying to work out how to avoid pumping raw sewage directly into the water below Vaucluse. It's been very tense. They've finally figured out a way to get it all to the Bondi Ocean outfalls. Good for the environment, but it just makes me wonder what would have happened to people in Vaucluse if the shit had been pumped directly into their beloved water views. Can you imagine that?
So, wait a minute, but wasn't that what was happening for years? Is it?
Not really. They've been trying to avoid doing more of that.
Because Vaucluse, that's the suburb with lots of lawyers and everything like that.
Well, it's a very wealthy blue ribbon suburb.
So they probably just you know, are used to sort of
swimming in shit.
You
know, this is how Parsley Bay got its name too. It's like, oh, there's a bit of parsley in this, in this log that's floating in the water.
I would have thought people are wealthy enough in that suburb that even if the water was brown, you could install blue stained glass windows all around the house, so it still had the appearance and the illusion of being blue.
I agree. I think they shouldn't have wasted the money. They should have just kept the shit in Vaucluse.
Wouldn't it be great if instead they accidentally pumped it into all their swimming pools?
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Well, Radio Chaser on Triple M, where it's time to look at the very latest things we're eating.
Trendy, trendy, trendy foods and ingredients.
Yes, today, look, I love a good theme park food, don't you guys? It's one of my favourite sort of genres of food.
There's a great, I think it's on Netflix, I can't remember the name of it, but it's all about the Fried Masters or something. It's all about carny food. And it's,
oh, yeah, genius show. It's genius.
And nothing is unfried. Nothing is undeep fried.
No, well, that's half the pleasure. They should fry the whole theme park. The roller coaster should be fried. Well, over in Walt Disney World, there's this wonderful new snack that you can pick up. And funnily enough, this is a bao. It's a, you know, bao. It's that sort of steamed Chinese bun or Taiwanese bun, right? Mm. And it's a testament to the popularity of this bao. You see it in pubs. You see it everywhere nowadays, bao. And it's so everywhere that it's even hit American theme parks, Disney World. But of course, because it's America, they had to Americanize the bao. You know, it's like, we can't have a Chinese tasting bao. It has to be American. So, Dom, when you bite into the Walt Disney World bao, what American filling do you find inside? Cheeseburger, hot dog, or rainbow ice cream?
Oh, my gosh. Which would have the most calories is probably the way to start. I'm going to go with the ice cream, Andrew.
Bow bow. Bow bow. Bow bow. You are wrong on the bao. It's a cheeseburger bao. You bite inside. It's got this mixture of beef, mustard, and pickle inside. Very authentic. All right, Charles. Don was wrong about the rainbow ice cream, but Universal Studios in Florida does have a rainbow ice cream with what amazing feature? Each coloured swirl in the rainbow has its own flavour. Ice cream. The ice cream is in the shape of an actual rainbow. Or at the bottom of the ice cream cone is an edible leprechaun.
it's edible leprechaun. That makes perfect sense. Right. So I'm going to go with that. That's a genius idea.
Oh, bow, bow. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. No. No, they've done the amazing thing. You know, like rainbow-flavoured paddle pops, everyone says it's just caramel, different colours or whatever.
Yeah,
and
those
rainbow ice creams, they're just rainbow. Well, these geniuses have made each coloured swirl its own flavour in the rainbow ice cream.
Tastes terrible?
Well, given that the flavours are completely incompatible, yes. No, it's their banana, strawberry, orange and raspberry, the four colours. Right. And for fans of organic food, you'll be pleased to know the raspberry swirl is blue. Chris, all right, finally, this one for you, Chris. It's National Pickle Day today, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yes.
In the United States,
is there a pickle in the cheeseburger bao?
There is. It's got beef, mustard, and pickle inside the bao. What food are Americans celebrating Pickle Day with? Pickle flavored marshmallows, pickle flavored fairy floss, or pickle icy poles with pickles frozen into them?
Well, that's a look. They're all possible, aren't they? Look, if we're in the world of carnivals, I'm going to go with fairy floss.
You are correct, Chris Taylor. Yay! And I put you in a bit of a pickle there because they're actually all true. They're all available in America. The pickle marshmallows and the pickle icy poles with pickles frozen into the middle of the ice block. And you know what the craziest thing of all is? Some Americans have gone so pickle mad, they're even considering putting them on a Big Mac.
Oh.
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Now, look, I don't know if you've been down to Sydney Harbour lately, but it's cruise season. And and it's like Parramatta Road on Sydney Harbour at the moment. You can't move for want of cruise ships. Have you noticed this?
Yeah. Well, there's Circular Quay, but then they've also got Darling Harbour and over at White Bay.
Near Balmain.
Yeah.
And it's basically, as I said, it's almost like, you know, when people line up for the Boxing Day sales. There's all these ships trying to get into Sydney Harbour at the same time, and it's bedlam. But the reason is, and I was reading an article recently, cruising is going through the roof.
Yeah.
Remember like 10, even 20 years ago, it had a really daggy reputation? Like it was something your grandparents did and no one else would consider it. It's now the fastest growing sector in the whole of travel. And apparently, you know, travel agents, like your Flight Center attendants and stuff, apparently they're incentivized to book you on a cruise because there's really good commissions and stuff. It's a very competitive industry.
Right, you know, because I've always found it really weird. Have you ever been on a cruise?
I haven't.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where you're just going, the whole reason why they invented aeroplanes was because being on a cruise was terrible. Like, do you think that, like, when aeroplanes finally get superseded by something else, like teletransportation, people will still catch aeroplanes and go, oh, I want to be on the plane. I want to be on the plane for 14 hours. Isn't this fun sitting around for 14 hours?
But it's so true, though. But you notice it. I don't know if you've been into a travel agency recently, but you can tell they're all on the take. You can tell, they're incentivized to upsell you. Because, you know, I tried to book a holiday recently and something seemed a little bit sus.
Hello, I'd like to book a holiday, please.
Certainly, sir. And which particular cruise did Sir have his eye on?
Not a cruise. I'd like to go to Africa. My wife and I are very keen to do a safari.
I see. You are aware most of the game parks are inland, sir.
So?
Very difficult to get the cruise ships in, and bound to frighten the wildlife if we try.
No, we...
I could put you on a cruise that gets you to the coastline of Africa. Giraffes are very tall. You'd probably still see them from the ship's deck.
No.
Or we could put some elephants and hippos in one of the ship's bars, so you'd still get a safari-style experience.
I don't think you understand. We're not interested in doing a cruise. We'd like to do a proper safari in Kenya, and then travel up to Egypt to see the pyramids and the Nile.
Oh, a Nile River cruise. Well, why didn't you say so, sir?
No, no cruises. No ships. We want to self-drive the whole trip in a Jeep.
Very difficult to play quoits in a Jeep, sir.
What?
No pool, no theatre shows at night. I mean, I could see if Ugly Dave Gray's still happy to perform in your Jeep.
Just about enough of this.
You leaving, sir?
Well,
let me book a taxi for you.
I'm fine.
No trouble at all. In fact, here's one pulling up now.
You booked me a cruise ship to take me 5 minutes down the road?
I'm a travel agent, sir. We get everybody on a cruise in the end. Say hi to Ugly Dave from me.
This is Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Yes, coming up, Cat's Pajamas or Cat's Piss.
Look, we're talking about cruising off the back of this revelation that cruising is the one, well, it's not the one sector that's doing well in the travel industry, but it's certainly the most profitable. And cruises are getting really competitive because there's so many different brands. Disney's involved now. I think there's one called Celebrity and Carnival, and they're everywhere. And everywhere I go, I keep meeting people who say, oh, you've really got to try it, Chris.
Yes.
Because I'm kind of a bit prejudiced thinking cruises for dags or for people over 90, you know, with one last trip left in them. But everyone says, no, they're really cool. Like, has anyone been on one?
No, my best friends keep on trying to encourage me to do it. And they say the thing about it is you can get rid of the kids. Because
overboard.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to murder your kid. Yes,
cruising on the Tampa, these people.
Yeah. Perfect. No. Because as you say, they're all themed now. Yeah. So I think the one that's down at Circular Quay at the moment has a Nintendo Land themed land. Yeah. And the kids leave at like 7 a.m. to go to Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
And then they get back at like 8 p.m. and you see them like once during the day. And you just, so basically any time you want to sort of not hang out with your family and your friends. Basically, cruises are perfect if you don't want to spend any time with the person that you're on the trip with.
Right.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's become a thing. I do know it's now a young person's thing. Like over in America, they've got Coachella cruises and it's now something for boys to do on Bucks weekends and stuff. It can go either way. It can either be an evening, you know, or a cruise full of amazing sights and good drinking, or pretty much a week of vomiting. but it would be interesting if you've been on a cruise.
Which one's the good one?
Oh, well, yeah. 133353. If you can sell the idea of a cruise to us, have you been on a cruise? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Because, you know, Dom, have you been on one?
I went on the Greek island ferry for about 6 hours. It started at 6 a.m., so it wasn't a good indication. But there were bars everywhere, literally every direction you looked. It was perfect for drinking. So I reckon if you went on a longer version, it would be good. But you know what's going to happen, Chris? You open the Chaser lines, travel agents are going to call trying to sell you on going on a cruise. But let's take those calls. 133353, Chaser lines open now. If you've been on a cruise and you'd recommend it or you think it's the worst thing in the world, we want to know.
Yeah, like I'm thinking of going one on over Christmas. If we get enough years, I'll just do it.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
It's Radio Chaser on Triple M. Talking about cruising, personally, I thought it was the best way to get norovirus, but apparently it's very fashionable at the moment. We've got some calls here, 13353. Should all of us sign up to a cruise this summer?
Did you love it or did you hate it if you've been on a cruise? 13353. Who have we got, Dommy?
We've got Kerry. Hey, Kerry.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Cruises, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been on at least 20 cruises.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
20?
Are you a travel agent?
No, I'm not a travel agent.
Are you a captain of a cruise ship?
I wish I would. I wish I had shares or something in it.
So but, what's the appeal?
At least try and do one cruise a year. I've done a lot, obviously, out of Australia and the Pacific and things like that, or around New Zealand. And I've just come back a couple of months ago with my wife, and we had we travelled to Rome, and then we went from there and had 21 nights at sea, two cruises back to back on the same boat, doing east and west Mediterranean.
My goodness, do you ever work? Have you ever held down a job?
Yes, I have. I have been employed for a little bit of my life.
And Kerry, what's the average age of the people on the cruise?
Oh, look, I mean, You're now even getting a lot of young people in their early 20s.
Wow.
Right through to... It covers all sorts of ages, and that's the great thing about it.
20 cruises, how many bouts of gastro, Kerry?
Well, I mean, any place where you lock up a whole heap of people together, there is a chance to get some gastro.
Okay, sounds like a few. Thanks, mate. So 20, big fan. Let's go to Ali. Hey, Ali, cruising, yes or no? What do you think?
Well, I say no for myself personally because I don't want to get eaten by sharks and I think I'll fall overboard.
I don't think they have sharks on the deck, Ali.
Yeah, I know, but you never know. I haven't seen Sharknado. My daughter recently went on one and the first 24 hours she called me up crying because she just couldn't stop vomiting. She ended up in hospital. She was only early pregnant. And 24 hours later she called me back and said that her partner had been dancing and had snapped ligaments in his ankle, so he was in a boot for the rest of the cruise. And an hour after he did that, his best mate broke his ankle. So they were in boots for the cruise, and the girls were sick, and they hated it.
So if you want to extend your holiday with a sickie, cruising's perfect.
Crazy.
All right. What do you think, guys? Are you convinced?
Well, I'd like to know the name of that cruise ship where everyone's doing their ankle. Like, are there speed bumps on the dance floor? It's like...
Yeah, I think the boat might have been listing sideways badly.
Charles, are you booking your family on the cruise?
Well, after that last endorsement, absolutely.
Cat's pajamas or cat's piss.
Now, guys, you might remember it because it was in the news a lot, a Gucci scarf that looked, I'm just going to use the word labial, very Ooh. Expensive. Kennedy Malloy talked about it a lot. But look, Yves Saint Laurent have topped this, I think, with a pair of earrings that look like dangly penises. They're gold. Mm. They cost $400. They've even got, like, the head down the bottom. There's no accident. There's no mistaking them for anything else. What do you think?
Well, do they have balls as well, or is it just the sausage? Just the sausage. Well, I think this would be a wonderful tie-in for Bunnings at the moment. You could serve these with some onions underneath. Rich people.
No, onions on top, Andrew. Onions on top.
No, underneath, Charles.
Well, what kind of person is buying this product for a Christmas present?
Well, isn't it? Surely it's an ironic statement. It's an ironic fashion statement. Like, I think this is why you pay Gucci. Or is it Gucci or Versace?
Yves Saint Laurent.
Yves Saint Laurent, the big bucks. This is what to come up with a penis. No one's thought of that before, dangling them off their ears.
It makes sense because for so long there's been cock rings, which are earrings hanging off penises. So now we've finally reversed that. We've got penises hanging off ears. Like my life.
This is Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.